singing. I've enjoyed the singing, and I'm looking forward to getting into the message tonight. Now, tonight's going to be a little different. I'm going to just teach some things that I hope will be a blessing to you. And I want to take the book of Ruth and give you an overview of it, and then we'll look at some, we'll look at a couple of ways to interpret the book of Ruth. Now, there's always three things that we ought to look at when we study Scripture, and I want to talk to you about that. There's always, well, there's the primary interpretation. What really happened? This is a historical event. This really happened. This is not some fable. You know, when you read the book of Ruth, Ruth's real. Naomi was real. Elimelech, this really happened to this family. All right, and so we'll talk about that. And then after there's that primary interpretation, there's a prophetic revelation. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, you know, Jesus said in the book of Luke, turn there if you would. I want you to see this in Luke 24. And I believe this with all of my heart. I believe that Jesus is on every page of the Bible. You believe that? Amen. Yeah, yeah. I just don't think really you've seen what the Scripture wants you to see about that Scripture until you see Jesus in it. Amen. So you go to Luke 24, and this is what Jesus said. In Luke 24, the Scripture says this. The two men on the road of Emmaus met up with Jesus, and he said in verse 25, and I'm not going to get into this in too much detail, but I do want you to see what Jesus said to them. He said in verse number 25, he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. So first of all, I want you to understand that Jesus endorses all of prophecy in the Old Testament. He endorses it all. And so anytime you hear a liberal, one of these loose-wheeled, liberal, spineless professors attacking one of the prophets, where it could be Micah, it could be Jonah, that's one of their favorites, it could be Nahum, just know they're really not attacking that prophet or that prophetical book. They're attacking our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then this, he said this. He said in verse 26, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, so that's the law, Moses, okay? And the prophets, that's really the context of the Old Testament. And beginning of at the law and the prophets, watch this now, he expounded unto them in all the Scripture. See, so I don't think that Moses and the prophets is the Old Testament. Well, that covered it right there. All the Scriptures. All the Scriptures, the things concerning himself. All right, so you really, when you read Old Testament Scripture and prophecies, when you read, you need to find Jesus in it. You need to find the revelation, prophecy of revelation. So tonight, what we're going to do, I want to give you just an overview of the book. You know the story of Ruth. I hope that you do. And so there's that primary interpretation. It's real. This really happened to a family. And they were Israelites. And they seemed to be living in the land that was doing good, the land that is a house of bread, Bethlehem, Judah. And then something happened. There was a famine, right? A famine in the land. And so they left the land. Now, when they left the land, they went into a pagan land, into Gentile territory. While they were there, their sons married Gentile women. And so these Gentile women, through that intermarrying, heard of the God of this family. All right? And there was great interest there. There was great interest. This is what happens in the book of Ruth. Well, while they were there, tragedy struck. To where there was sorrow and heartache, death, pain. Three of the family members died. Elimelech, Mahlon, Chilion. They died. Naomi didn't. She gets ready to come back after she had heard, we talked about this last week, after she had heard that God was supplying, that God was blessing the hometown again. And so she began to migrate back to her hometown. But one of those daughter-in-laws, Ruth, said, I want to go with you. And we'll look at that in closer detail tonight, because that's the third way that you interpret Scripture. If the only way you interpret Scripture is take the primary interpretation or the prophetic revelation and not the practical application. You see, you've got to say, what is God saying to me? Right? What is God saying to me in this Scripture? What am I to learn from this? You say, well, I can't learn anything from the Old Testament. Oh, you're missing it. These things were written for our examples. See, God recorded this so we could learn how God deals with people and situations, and that's why God gave us. God didn't give us this just so we could know Israel's history, brethren. And I'm glad that he did, and I'm glad that we do. But God gave us this to teach us how he deals with his elect people, and we can learn great lessons and make practical application. So there's three things that we need to be looking for. I want you to write them down, okay? You need to be looking for the primary interpretation. What is this saying? We're going to see this tonight. And then what prophetic revelation is in it about Jesus and about the second coming and about the events of the future? And then there is a practical application. What am I to learn from this Scripture? What is God saying to me? Because if all you get is information, brethren, that, listen, I have sit and listened, and I'm not, I understand who I am, so don't take this wrong. But I have sit and listened to preaching where it's just a bunch of information, and while it's good, it just, I just, information's good, but information in itself is knowledge. And we know what Paul said about knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up. Knowledge can make us very proud people to where we think, well, you know what? Every time somebody tries to tell us something, we say, well, I know that. Well, I know that. Well, it's not what you know. It's what you're doing with what you know. Amen. It's not what I know. It's what am I doing with what I know? Yeah. See, we could know a lot of things, but really that knowledge is not helping us until it becomes applicable, until it becomes practical in our lives. Amen. So please don't think, well, I know a lot about the Bible, so I'm spiritual. Knowing a lot about the Bible does not make you spiritual. Right. It just makes you knowledgeable about the Bible. Right. If you want to be spiritual, you have to take that knowledge and put it into practice. Because, you see, you have to be more than a hearer of the Word of God. You have to be a doer of the Word. Amen. And so we want to talk about this tonight. So the story of Ruth is, here's this family, they're living in the land. Seems like the land's doing good. And then all of a sudden, there's this famine that comes. Now, famine in the Scripture is 9 out of 10 times it's a sign of God's judgment because of disobedience. And so the family is, they move away. Elimelech, Naomi, their two sons, they go into a Gentile land. While they're there, there's sorrow, there's death, and that family is greatly depleted. Now, when she gets ready to come back, Naomi, which is the only one that lives, survives this exile. When she gets ready to come back, well, she gives opportunity to those in whom she has touched their lives, and only one of them comes back of the two, and that's Ruth. When they get back, the Scripture says, and I want you to notice the way chapter number one ends. It is just amazing. God's Word is amazing. So when this... you probably already, I hope your wheels are turning. So here's this group of people that are Israelites. And Elimelech means God is king. All right? And so they leave. When they leave, who's Elimelech's wife? Naomi. What's her name? Pleasant. All right? She's Pleasant. Why? Because God's her king. Her husband, right? They leave. And you know what happens when they're away from their homeland? They're greatly depleted. It's God showing in this story that really happened, what's going to happen to the nation of Israel. Naomi represents Israel. It's easy to see. She goes back full. She comes back depleted. All right? So they get exiled from the land of promise. While they're away, they intermingle with Gentiles. And there's an interest among the Gentiles, as we shall see in a moment. Brethren, truly, salvation is of the Jews. Amen. And we owe the Jewish people, we owe them a great debt. Amen. And I tell you right now, I this is not in the message, but I'm going to say it. We need to stay friends with Israel. You need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Any leader that says that they want to cut off or do harm to Israel, I'm going to tell you, they don't know anything about this scripture, or either they're just flat out crazy, foolish. God has made it very clear, I will bless them that bless thee. You listening? Now, young folks, I want you to listen to me. I know you may not know a whole lot about what I'm telling you, but you need to get this down. You need to get this down. Don't you ever turn against God's people now. Don't you listen, you do that, you're opening up your life to a curse. And then again, I'll say what I said this morning. That's just not some religious rhetoric or jargon. That's biblical principle. You turn against God's people, and God said, I'll curse you. I'll bless them that bless thee, the seed of Abraham, and I'll curse them that curse thee. All right? And you say, well, God sure has blessed our country. It's because by and large, for the most part, we've been friends of Israel. Need to stay that way too. Amen. And you need to pray for God's people nationally. You need to pray for them. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. The scripture teaches this. Now, when Naomi goes back, she carries Ruth with her. Chapter 2 begins this way. It ends. Chapter 1 ends this way. And they came to Bethlehem. You see chapter 1, verse 22? They came to Bethlehem. Now notice when they got back. When they got there, it was the beginning of harvest. And that's something. When Ruth comes into the picture, which is a picture of the Gentile bride of the kinsman redeemer, Boaz, it's harvest. It's harvest time. It's time to get some of them folks in. Amen. Ruth is representative of the Gentile bride of this kinsman redeemer. Who is Boaz? Who is Boaz? He's the next of kin. Notice what Naomi says here. Naomi representing Israel. Notice what she says in chapter 2, verse 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's. Who was her husband? Elimelech. What does his name mean? God is king. Amen. And notice what the scripture says. He was a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. Amen. You know this story, don't you? You know what God did? God purposed for Ruth to end up in the field of Boaz so he could bless her and so he could show her, and we're going to see here in just a moment what the key word of chapter 2 is. He is going to show this woman marvelous kindness and favor and grace. These are words that are used in chapter 2. Well, let's just look at them now. Look, if you would, in verse number 2. She said, Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, let me now go into the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find what?
Grace.
Looking for grace. Who is this looking for grace? This is this pagan outcast that has been cursed from the people of God and Israel's God. Been cursed. And she comes to Naomi, and who is a representative, the wife of Jehovah, of God is my king, Elimelech, and she says, I want to find grace of our kinsman redeemer. That's Jesus. She's looking for grace. Why? Because she is not satisfied with what her life, as we shall see in a moment when Naomi was going back, the thing that attracted Ruth was your God. I want your God to be my God. I've seen something in you that stirred up a hunger in my heart. I want to go to where you're from. I want your land to be my land. I want your God to be my God. I want to know more about you and your way of life and your way of living. I thank God for the day in my life that I met someone that created that thirst and that hunger in my life. Amen. I want this person that you call Lord. I want this person that you call God. I want that. I want that, right? Look down, if you would, at verse number 10. We'll look at the intermediate part here in just a moment. So she goes into the field of Boaz, and she meets him, and he has a conversation with her, and he basically, well, let's just go ahead and do it while we're on it. He look at verse 10. Boaz said unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field. Now, what is Boaz saying to Ruth? I'm all that you need. That's what he's saying. You don't need to go to another field. You don't need to glean in this field and another. Can I tell you, Jesus is all we need? Amen. Our Boaz, who is Jesus, our kinsman redeemer, he's all we need. Amen. It's not Jesus and. It's Jesus alone. Amen. And he's telling her, can I tell you, Jesus will tell you that. If you listen real close, Jesus will tell you, I'm all you need. Amen. I'm everything you need. Everything you need's in me. That's what Boaz is telling Ruth here. See, she don't know. She's from a land of many gods. She's Moabite. She doesn't know. And he said, listen, you need to set aside that way of thinking. I am all you need. I have placed everything in the field where you are to meet your need. I will protect and I will provide for you. That's what he's telling her. He said in verse number 8, don't go. And he said, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Verse number 9, let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? I'm not only going to provide for you, I'm going to protect you. And then he said, and when thou art athirst, go into the vessels and drink that which the young men have drawn. You know what she did? Verse number 10, she did what every believer ought to do. And if you're truly saved in the grace of God, you found yourself in verse number 10. The scripture says that she fell down on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes? How could you look at me, an old outcast, cursed of God, a Moabite, God's washpot? What do you see in me that would cause you to want to exercise your grace and extend your grace to me? Amen. And tell me that you'll meet every need I have? I don't even know you. I just met you. I'll meet all your needs. Thank God for that. Amen. This is practical application. Hey, man, I'm telling you tonight, brethren, God will meet every need you have. He'll meet every need you have. You say, well, I have a need that God can't meet. Oh, you listen, you can't have a need that God can't meet. The only way that you'll not have a need met is if you don't call upon God and trust God to meet it. And the scripture says here in verse number 10, she fell down before him and she said, why have I found, and here's our word again in this chapter, grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger. Amen. No more about cursed. And you've taken me in, and you've told me you'll meet every need I have. And you've experienced, and you've exercised, and shown me your grace. And Boaz answered, and had a conversation with her. Then look down at verse number 13. Verse number 13. Well, I want to get verse 12 in there. The Lord recompense, that's what Boaz is saying to her, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. You see, you've got to trust him. Ruth was without knowledge that Boaz could meet all of her need. And she was contemplating going to other fields to glean. And Boaz said, that's not necessary. I've got everything you need. I'm going to meet every need you have. Can I tell you, brethren, Jesus is enough. Now, please don't listen. If you don't leave here with anything else tonight, you please know that Jesus is enough. He is enough. He'll meet every need you have. Whatever you're going through, whatever trial, tribulation, trouble, it could be health, and we have folks in our congregation that are experiencing health situations. It could be family, and we have folks in our congregation that are going through family situations. It could be your marriage. It could be your children have gone astray. It could be a number of things. I'm here to tell you, our Boaz is able to meet that need. You say, preacher, it doesn't look too well right now. From where I'm sitting, preacher, it doesn't look like that God is in control. I'm here to tell you, Boaz has his eye on you, and you're in his field, and he's going to meet your need, my friend. Please hear me. Jesus is enough. Amen. He is enough. Amen. Amen. The scripture goes on to say, in verse number 13, she said, then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me. For thou hast spoken friendly unto thy handmaid, though I be not like one of thine handmaidens. You took me in, though I was an outcast, though I was a Gentile, though I was outside the covenant promises of God. You took me in, and you've met my every need, and you fulfilled your promise, and you've shown me favor. And I just want to say, bless the name of the Lord. That's what she's saying, amen. Listen, we just need to see this in this book. I thank God for the love story. Now, don't misunderstand me. But the love story really is not between Boaz and Ruth. It's between me and Jesus. Amen. Amen. I get to reading this, and I get to think about what Jesus has done for me, my Boaz, and I'm Ruth, and I get to thinking, praise God, this is real. Amen. This is real. That Luke 24 is coming to life right here. Amen. Right. When he said, hey, all the scriptures testify of me, you see. Well, you get on down, and the scripture says let's get down to verse number 17. So she gleaned in the field. Well, I have to go back. I have to. I can't leave this part out. So he said all these good. I know it's going to end up being a two-hour message. Amen.
It's all right.
Yeah. So she said all these things, and he said, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to meet your need. I'm all that you need. And as if that wasn't enough, you know what's coming next if you've read this chapter. It's hard for me to skip over. I hope you know what Hands Full of Purpose is. If you haven't done the research, listen, what the law in Israel was, you can find this in the book of Deuteronomy and the book of Leviticus. The law of Israel, God said, here's what I want you to do. God said, I'm going to bless you. But when I bless you, it's not only for you. See, we found out a long time ago here at Fellowship Baptist Church, God will give through you what he won't give to you. Amen. God doesn't give to us to keep. God wants to give through us. Now, in giving through us, God will give to us. You need to live your life that way. I'm glad to belong to a church that understands that.
Amen.
Amen. To where, you know, God gives to me, and that doesn't mean he wants me to keep it. Now, he may want me to enjoy some of it, but God wants to give through me. God may give through me that he doesn't want me to keep any of it. That's right. You need to live your life that way. You need to understand that is the way God deals with his people. And so he said, I'm going to meet your every need. You're in the right field. And I love this wording. If you go back, I think it's in verse number 3 of chapter 2. Look at that if you would. She went and she came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And watch this wording here. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz. Amen. You know, imagine that. Just think about how, go back in your life and think about the people that God put in the pathway of your life, and you thought, wow, what a coincidence. Oh, no. That was your hap. Amen. God, listen, he ordained it that way. He ordained it that way. She's probably thinking, I'm miles and miles away from home. How am I going to know anybody out there? And as it come to be, she fell in the field. She was working in the field of the very one that was going to meet every need she ever had. I look back over my life and I see how God placed people along the stops in my life who got me from one place to the next, who brought me finally to the knowledge of Christ, and I understood, and God saved me by his grace through the people. And he's still putting people in the pathway of my life.
Amen.
He's doing that for you too. You just have to recognize it. You just have to recognize it. That's sovereignty. That's providence, brethren. That's help. Amen. So, done all that, and then the scripture says in chapter 2, look at it there, verse number 14, Boaz said, I tell you what I'm going to do for you. Now, I want you, those of you who think, well, I can't do a whole lot for God. I'm not a multi-talented or a many-faceted Christian when it comes to gifts. I just don't have all the gifts. I can't sing like some of those folks over there sing, and some of those people play and up here and play. I can't do this and do that. Well, I want you to listen. You do what you can do. Okay, God knows what you can do because he's the one who gifted you to do it. Now, if you don't get, I said that the last time, so I can't say it again. So I'm going to say this. Get this part too.
Amen.
See, God's got something for you. Don't you let the devil tell you you can't do it like someone else, so that doesn't mean you can't. There are no small jobs in God's workshop. Amen. God has something for you to do. And I'm going to show you what God says here. This is God's grace, brethren. This chapter is about grace and the favor and kindness and God's goodness to us. Verse 14, Boaz said unto Ruth at mealtime, come thou hither, and eat of the bread and dip of the morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers. Now those are big shots in the field. Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
These are the big guns in the field now. The reapers. They're the ones that make it happen. He said, I tell you what I want you to do. He said, I've watched you. You're kind of limited. But he said, you're doing with what you've been given. He said, I'm telling you what I want you to do. I want you to come and sit at the table with those who are, because in my workshop, there's no big I's and little U's. We all go sit around the same table. Aren't you glad Jesus deals with us that way? Listen to me, brethren. It's here in the book. It said here in verse number 14, he said, when you come at that mealtime and you sit, he said, I want you to sit down there with the reapers. And he reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed and left. She ate with the what folks would call the important people. These were the reapers of the field in harvest time. She got to eat with them, and he said, here, you come right on up. And he said, I'm going to make sure you get all that you need. And notice what she ate until she was full. It sufficed her. Amen. Verse number 15. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded the young men, saying, let her glean among the sheaves and reproach her not. Now, I got off of that hands full of purpose. God said, I want to take care of the poor. All right? He said, so here's what we're going to do. He said, when you reapers are out there, and he said, when you're reaping, he said, we're going to set a corner of property. And he said, I don't want you to reap that. And then he said, that's going to be for them to come along and reap. And then he said, then what I want you to do is on purpose, not just leave some, but on purpose I want you to drop some behind. And that was called handful of purpose. And he said, I want them to glean some of the good stuff. So that's the good stuff. You listening? That's not the corner piece. That's pieces from the good land. He said, I want that to go to them. And so he said, now Ruth, brought you into my field. I'm going to meet every need you have. You don't have to go glean somewhere else. I'm all you need. I'm going to meet every need you have. And he said, I'm going to make sure that you're protected and you're provided for. And then he called and he said, come here. And by the way, God's in control of the workers.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
I got to church this morning, and I don't tell people this much, but the preacher gets a little discouraged too. He does. And I was just a little discouraged, just a little bit now. And I got here, and there was a card that somebody had sent a while back, and it was a little late getting here, and it was sitting right up here on the pulpit. And I opened it up, and I don't think I brought it tonight, but I opened it up, and it basically said, they're not members of the church. And it said, we are learning so much under your ministry. You have a unique gift of God to feed the people. Man, I'm telling you, that just helped me.
It
just helped me. See, God knows. That's a little hands full of purpose. And then I turn around, and sitting on the, I read that card this morning before Sunday school started. I read that card, and I turned around. There's a box sitting there that had another card on top of it. And this Bible that I've been wanting for about 2 years, me and Sherry's been talking about it, was sitting over there with a note in it saying, thank you for being our pastor and being a good example, and I want you to have this. You know, that's hands full of purpose. See, God does it for you too. He does. And so he said, here's what I want you to do, verse 15. He said, while you're out there gleaning, he said, I want you to let her glean among the sheaves, not just that corner, the good stuff. And reproach her not, and let fall also some of the handful of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. And she gleaned in the field, brethren. She gleaned, and she had so much. She had so much. She was so blessed that others began to take notice. You see, this is how Christians get people's attention. Listen to me. Watch what happens here. So she gleaned, and verse number 18, she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. She shared. Amen.
Amen.
She shared. Sharing's a good word. We teach it to our children, then we don't live it. Amen. We make sure they have it, then we quit using it. Sharing is a good word. You share God's blessing with other people. Yeah. Listen. Sharing is far more caught than taught. Now, you ought to teach it to your children, but they'll catch on if they watch you do it. When they see you sharing God's resources that He's given to you with others, they'll follow in your footsteps. That goes with everything, brethren. You can't fool those children. They get older and they learn your tricks. Yeah. Live right and your children will see it, and it'll bring good training and principle into their lives. So the scripture said here in verse number 19, her mother-in-law said unto her, "What hast thou gleaned today?" Wow. Amen. Right? Look here. What you've come up with. What hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. See, when we show others what Jesus has done for us, they'll praise him. She didn't praise Ruth. She praised Boaz. Amen. I hope you're getting this. So you see, this really happened. That's the primary interpretation. Ruth was real. This really happens. All right? I'm gonna end it here. There's so much more in this story, and we'll get on through it, but I want you to get this. So in the story as it's given for the primary interpretation, Ruth does meet Boaz, and Boaz shows her favor and kindness. Actually, it ends that way here in this chapter one more time. Look, if you would, in verse number 20. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead." See, God is, he shows his loving kindness to us, brethren, and we ought to praise him for it. This chapter has the words grace, favor, kindness, because it's talking about Ruth's introduction to Boaz and Boaz's interaction with Ruth, and that's us. We're the one. We were the stranger. We were the outcast. We were the one under the curse. Wasn't Moab under the curse? Yes. And God took us in, and we met the kinsman redeemer. Now, there's something very interesting here that I want to get before we close. Now, you know the story. So in chapter number 3, after she meets Boaz, she says, "I'll tell you what I want you to do. Boaz is going to be he's going to be winnowing in the field tonight. And I want you to go down, and after he's eaten and after he's full, I want you to go down, I want you to lie at the foot of his bed." And she does. She takes Naomi's advice, and she goes and she lays, and he throws his skirt over her. And some people have taken this. I just did it to see what, sometimes I want to know what liberals think. I don't know why. I should know by now. Wrong. Some people try to take that and they try to sensualize it. That's ridiculous. It just goes to show the lack of proper interpretation that people can get out of God's word. What God is doing here is he's in this, Naomi is protecting Ruth. And she said, "I want you to go down because you and Boaz are going to come together." And she said, "Boaz is going to protect you." Now, this is a wonderful picture here of God protecting us, okay, of Jesus protecting us. But during this conversation, he reveals something to her that's very important. Look in chapter 3, verse number 12. In chapter 3 and verse number 12, Boaz says this to Ruth. He says, "And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman." He said, "I am who you think I am." Now, in our situation, as far as application, Jesus is God is my king. He's the son of God is my, he's the kinsman of God is my king. Amen. Elimelech. Amen. You see? But he said, "I've got something I need to share with you." He said in verse number 12, "I am thy near kinsman, howbeit there is a kinsman nearer than I." We've got to run it through him. Now listen carefully. We've got to run it through him before I can be your redeemer. We got to get to that other kinsman. Boaz meets him at the gate in chapter 4. This is the way they did business back then. They had a gathering of men. They got a governing body of men. They were at the gate. That's why Lot was at the gate in Sodom. That's where they did governmental. That's where they did business, at the gate. And so they met at the gate. Look at chapter 4. The scripture says, when Boaz went up to the gate, he sat down with, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by. Now, this other kinsman was someone that Boaz asked, you gonna do it? Well, let's just read this. Boaz spake, and he said unto him, ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. Verse 2 says, he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit ye down here. And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsman Naomi, that has come again out of the country of Moab. Now, Naomi is a clear picture of Israel, who was exiled because of disobedience, came back not with her whole family, but greatly depleted. Israel is starting to go back into the homeland. Can I tell you, that's when the harvest began. Yeah. It is. You go back and you look at the great harvest of the church, and you'll find it was after Israel became state. It is. I mean, in our country it is for sure, but around the world, Israel starts going back. That's about the time that the harvest is coming to an end. To an end. And so he said, now we've got to have the marriage. Okay? Got to have a marriage. They've been together. We've got to have a marriage. And the scripture says here in verse number 3, he said unto the kinsman, Naomi has come again out of the country and of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which is our brother Elimelech's. What is being said here? Did you know that when Naomi and that family left, this is what the scripture teaches, when they left Israel, they lost their property. They lost their property. It's going to have to be purchased back. Is that what it said? Read it with me now, verse number 3. Don't lose me. I'm getting ready to wind this up, but I don't want you to miss this. He said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that has come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. She's got to sell her land. She can't keep her land. Israel have all their land? I'm just asking you, brethren, does Israel have all of her land? No. No. But will Israel have all of her land? Yes. Guess who's going to make that possible? Yeah. So he says here into this, in verse number 4, he said, I thought to advertise thee, verse 4, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know. For there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I'll redeem it. That's what the person said. I'll redeem it. And so it looks like, well, the kinsman redeemer is not going to be able to get that property. Now, just so you know, and we'll get into this a little later. As I said, my time is up. The next of kin is Adam's race. I want you, it's Self. It's Self. See, Self always says, I can do this. I can redeem myself. I spoke with a couple, and I'm not saying this to shame anybody. I thought this before I got saved. I thought, I have to have something to do with me getting saved. There may even be somebody here that still thinks that. I've got to have something to do with me getting saved. I've got to keep it. See, there's always someone who thinks, I can get to heaven. There's people who think, I asked two people Thursday night, and listen, I don't say this in any way. I don't to belittle, to put down. I just say it as a matter of so you'll understand. And if you witness to enough people, you'll know what I'm saying is so. When you begin to talk to people about how are you planning on getting to heaven, there may even be somebody here tonight in a Bible-believing church that would think, well, I'm getting to heaven if I just do right. If I do unto others as they do unto me. I think I've got to treat people fairly. And I think as long as I treat people fairly and I do right, then there's no way God would not let me into heaven. Well, I got to tell you something. There's nobody ever going to heaven that way, and you know that. Now. But what about before? Did you think you could get yourself to heaven? I did. Man, I was a rebel, a drug addict. And I still thought, if I could just turn my life around, when I started thinking about getting saved, I thought if I could turn my life around and start doing better, that's the only way I can get to heaven. I didn't know that I had to rely on the finished work of Christ. Most people don't. Some people think, well, I've got to trust Jesus and do better. Well, listen, your works has nothing to do with you getting to heaven, with or without Jesus.
Right.
Say amen, folks. Right. And so that Redeemer, you've got to get yourself out of the way before the kinsman Redeemer. See, until that next of kin, until you get out of the way, Boaz won't redeem you. You hear what I said? Now listen to me. There are folks today that cannot get saved because they're in the way. They are still trying to work their way. They are not placing their full faith and trust in Christ because they want to have something to do with it themselves. Can't happen that way. And so when he sat down and he said, "Will you do this?" When Boaz sat down, he said, "Tell me." Look at verse number 4. "Tell me that I may know, for there is none beside to redeem it." And he said, "I will redeem it." You see the last part of verse number 4? That's exactly what the flesh says. That's exactly what we say. "I'll do it." Okay. Verse 5. "Then said Boaz, what day that thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also with Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead among his inheritance." And then the kinsman said something. He said, "Oh, wait a minute. I can't do that. Can't do that." Notice what he said. Verse number 6, the kinsman said, "I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance." I can't even take care of what I got, my inheritance. So you've got to realize that you owe a debt you can't pay. That's right. When you owe that, when you realize that, now the next kinsman can step in. And that's what happens here. That's exactly what happens. If this really happened, by the way. That's what I want you to know. This really happened. But I find it remarkable that it's such a wonderful picture of what happens in salvation. What happens to you and I. You know how this story ends? This story ends with Boaz marrying Ruth. She wasn't even there. Look at it. I'm serious. He said, in verse number 6, the kinsman said, "I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it." Now, this was the manner of the former, and it goes down, and it talks about the taking off of the shoe, the goel, which we'll go through that another time. Boaz said unto the elders, verse number 9, and to all the people, "You are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's, and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's in the hand of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife."
Amen.
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 I did it. That other redeemer couldn't do it. I did it.
Amen.
Because I'm capable.
Yep.
Right? I'm the one that's fit. I'm the one that has the resources to do this.
Amen.
It's a wonderful picture of Christ. Can I tell you, he was the only one that could. And you know how that they, you know, they bear children. And the women in verse number 14 of chapter 4 said, "Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel." Of course, Ruth and Boaz get married, and they bear children, and they have grandchildren, and then they have a great-grandchild. Who is David? The greatest king that has ever lived, earthly speaking. And one day, Ruth, when Matthew began to write, said, the Holy Spirit said, put her down in the lineage of the King of Kings, Jesus himself. That's what the book of Ruth is about. It's a wonderful love story. It really is. About a family who falls upon hard times, and yet God, as only God can, knows how to bring good out of bad. And here's this old estranged person who gets to come back, and her life is completely changed because that family left their land. Brethren, can I tell you, that's how we got in. Don't you ever think that we do not owe a great debt of gratitude to the nation of Israel. We owe a great debt of gratitude. And may we forever pray for them, and may we be thankful. Listen, I'm sorry that they rejected. I'm sorry they rejected Christ. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But now here's where we get in. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Amen. Even to them that believe on his name. As we get over into the book of Romans, we'll find how we were grafted in as an olive branch. And I'm thankful to God for that. So as we study through the book of Ruth, we certainly see that it's a primary interpretation. This family, Ruth gets involved, Boaz, the kinsman redeemer. There's children, grandchildren. And then there's a prophetic revelation. We find Christ in the church and how that God deals with his covenant people that's represented in Naomi, and how that he deals with outsiders and outcasts, with Ruth, and how that the kinsman steps up and weds her, and she becomes part of, well, an elect people themselves. And then we have application. As you stand to your feet tonight, we'll get into this a little deeper. There were some that might take this story and they would say, well, you know, it all happened because of election. And I would remind them that Naomi said, now here's what I want you to do. In chapter 1, she said, I want you to go back to your people and to your land and to your gods. And unfortunately, Orpah did. She exercised her free will. And she did. I never hear of her again. She's removed from the pages of Scripture, never to be heard of again. If you find Orpah anywhere else in the Scripture, please come to me. I cannot find her. Now, I must admit, I haven't searched diligently, but I have searched to find. And I just cannot find her anywhere else. She just goes out into oblivion, never to be heard of again. But there was another young woman there who also exercised her free will. It was not just election of grace and sovereign grace. There was a choice of a person's free will who said, I want your God to be my God. I want to go to your land. I want to learn more about your way of life. And when she did, God extended his grace to her through Boaz. And as her hap was, she found herself in a very good place. And she was blessed by God's favor and kindness. And so decisions are very important, aren't they?
Amen.
They're very important. Be careful about the decisions that you make. Your eternal destiny lies within them. Let's bow our heads together.